Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. Of course, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. We know there's plenty of places that everybody could be. There's no place I'd rather be than in His house. The title of the message tonight that the Lord has given me is When He Touched Me. With us, if you would, to Matthew, the 12th chapter. And we're going to bounce around quite a bit, but it's going to be pretty much everything's going to be in Matthew between chapter 12 and chapter 17. I thought a little bit about that song that says, He touched me and He made me whole. And there's no more truth than that that I've ever heard. Because I was a man who was not whole at one time in my life. I was a man who had no peace. I was a man who had no comfort. I was a man who was wicked in all of his ways. But Jesus touched me, and He made me whole. He changed me. He changed my direction. He changed my course. He changed everything about me and made me into a new creature. The Bible tells us that. The old things are passed away. All things become new. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Not in and of ourselves, but through Him. So I want to talk to you a little bit first in Matthew 12, verses 22 through 26. It says, Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then this kingdom stand? You may be seated. So we see here that this man was blind and that he was dumb. He couldn't see and he couldn't speak. And the Bible says that Jesus touched him. And it changed him. After that time, he was able to see. He was able to speak. He was healed of his infirmities. There was a time in my life that I could not see. Now, I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually. There was a time in my life when I was lost, I could not see. I was blind. The Bible says that the blind lead the blind. And they both fall in the ditch. I was blind. I couldn't see. I didn't understand the ways of God. I didn't understand the things of God. It was of none effect to me. And I couldn't see it. I couldn't understand it. Now, I could look, church, but I couldn't see. Do you understand what I'm saying? I could look at the things of God, but they made no sense to me. So I was blind to it. I was blind to His ways. I couldn't speak. The Bible says that though we have tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, we are a tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal. It means nothing to God. We can't approach Him. We can't. The Bible says in one place, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing here, but in one place in the Bible it says the prayer of a sinner cannot be heard by God except for the prayer of repentance. Just wasting time. Every time that I was drunk and hung over and prayed to God and asked Him to help me get through that hangover, it was a waste of time. Every time that I would try to talk to God and reason with Him and try to convince Him to do things for me, it was a waste of my time. Because I was going about it for the wrong reasons. Right? And the Bible says that we pray and receive not because we ask amiss. We ask that we may consume it upon our own lust. Right? So He didn't hear those things. And to Him, I was dumb. Yeah, I spoke. but he heard me not. A lot of people will disagree with me on that point, and that's all right. You can disagree with me, but I can show you in the Bible. I can take you to the Scriptures. Amen? And it's not what I say. It's what thus saith the Lord that matters. See? And, but he touched me. And when he touched me, he changed some things. I want you to imagine, if you will, the first thing that that blind man saw when his sight was restored to him was the face of Jesus. Can you imagine that that would be the first thing that you would see? When your sight's restored, you've been blind, you've never seen anything, but when your sight is restored, the first thing that you see is the face of Jesus, the very one who healed you. Can you imagine that the first person that he spoke to, the first person he was able to speak to, the first person that was ever able to comprehend what he was saying was Jesus. I can tell you tonight that the first person that I saw, and I didn't see him in a physical presence, but spiritually the first thing that I saw when I got saved was Jesus. Nothing else mattered around me. I couldn't comprehend anything else. It was him. The first thing that I spoke to, or the first person I spoke to, was Jesus. And you too. Alright? Because that's what our desire was at that very moment, was to be in His presence. And when He saved us, we were in His presence. We wasn't in our own presence. We wasn't in the preacher's presence. It wasn't that preacher that knelt down and prayed with some of us, or that deacon that knelt down and prayed with some of us, or even that lay member that knelt down and prayed with some of us, that got us to the place where we were able to see, and got us to the place where we were able to speak. It was the touch of the Lord. The Master's hand came upon us and gave us something we had never had before. Something we had never experienced before. We're living in a society today where the church has lost hope. The church looks around and we see many lost people, and we see that, you know, no matter what we try, no matter what we do, we can't get them to come to church, and we start losing hope of that. We can't lose hope. We got to keep our hope. Because that's all that we have to stand on. That's all we have to gain comfort from. We have to have comfort in knowing that God is able. Even where man is slack, God is able. Many of us have told stories. Many of us have expressed ourselves in the fact that somebody we never dreamed would ever come to church all of a sudden started talking about church, or going to church, or attending church, or at least asking questions about church. I'm sure there were many people that looked at me and said, "Man, there ain't no hope for him. I'm not going to waste my breath." There were probably many people that looked at everybody else too and told them, "Don't waste your time with him. He's a hopeless case. Look at the life that he lives. Look at the things that he does. You really think that he can be saved?" I sure do. And not only do I think that they can be saved, I know that they can be saved. Because I serve a God who is able, far more able than I am, and far more willing than I am. And when he touches, he has an effect. But church, they have to want to be touched. They have to have a desire to be touched. And where that desire comes from is from us. They have to see something in us. They have to see that there's something different. They have to see that there's a change. They don't want to see that we're living the same way that they're living, that we're doing the same things that they're doing, that we're acting the same way that they're acting. They need to see something different. They need to see a different speech. Amen? They need to see a different sight. Right? They need to see that we see things differently. Yes, the mountain's big, but God is able. Right? That's the kind of sight that we need to have. Yes, my situation seems too much for me to bear, but God is able. Yes, my circumstances are too great for me to comprehend, but God is able. Yes, my friend, family, and loved ones are lost without Him, but yes, God is able. Because I once was lost, church, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Not because of myself, but because of Him. And that's what they need to see. They need to see that there are still some that are willing to live what they say they live. Not just talk about it. Not just preach about it. Not just harp on them about it and say, this is what you need to do. But now don't you pay no attention to me. This is what you need to do. No, we need to live an example before them. Let them see that our sight has changed. That we're no longer worried and concerned and confounded by the circumstances or the situations in our life. They need to see that there is a difference in our speech. That we're not talking the same thing that we used to talk. The things that we once said are not within our mouth anymore. But there has been a change. We speak differently now. We speak with love. We speak with charity. Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. To have love and to have compassion for our fellow man. It doesn't matter how lost they are, church. We are still required to have compassion for them. The church of today has gotten high-minded and heady and thinking that they're above everybody else. Got their noses so far in the air and just conceited within themselves. That's not what God wants. He wants us to have love. He wants us to have compassion. He wants us to show them the way, not speak them the way. Let them see that there's been a change in your speech, that there's been a change in your sight, that there's been a change in our thought process. In Matthew 12, verses 9 through 13, it says, "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other." Again, this is a man who had a hand that was withered. He couldn't feel, he couldn't grasp, he couldn't touch. And again, there was a time in my life when I was lost that I could not feel. I could reach out my hand, but I really couldn't feel because I had no feeling. I had no concern for people. My touch was altered because of the shape that I was in, the sin that I was in. I wouldn't reach out to people because I was concerned that I might get hurt. There's even been times, I'll have to be honest with you tonight, church. There's even been times in my spiritual walk where I've been hurt by Christians and got to a point where I couldn't reach out anymore. My hand became withered because I was afraid that if I reached out to anybody, that if I lashed on to anybody, that if I touched anybody, I'd get hurt again. Right? I think we've all probably been there, and if you haven't, just hold on. And you can mark it on your calendar. Brother Rob said, it'll happen. And you know why it happens? It's not because those people intentionally are looking to hurt you, which there probably are people out there like that. But the majority of the time when that happens, it happens because personalities are different. And there's a conflict of the personalities. Right? It's not because that person intensely wakes up one Sunday morning and says, you know what? I'm going to figure out a way to hurt Brother Robbie Rogers. I'm going to figure out a way that I can run him off from church because I just don't like him. Do you think that people sit around and fathom those types of things? That come up with those types of things? No. It's just, sometimes we bump heads. And sometimes people just ain't strong enough in the Lord to understand how to offset that bumping of the heads. Right? So then we get withered. Our hands get withered. We don't have the ability to touch and to feel and to reach out because we're afraid we're going to get hurt. But Jesus healed my withered hand. Praise God. He made me to where I can touch and I can have compassion for people. Church, I'm telling you, you all can't fathom how dark my heart was when I was lost. Y'all can't fathom how much hatred I had within me because of my life. But God changed that because He touched me. Praise God. He came along and He said, His hands withered. His heart is darkened. He has no love in His life. But I'm going to change all that. Not because He deserves it, but because I love Him. Right? Not because I did anything to earn it, but just because He loved me. Matthew 15, verses 29 through 31. Says, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And He healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered. When they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole and the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Church, when we were lost, we were maimed. We weren't complete. We weren't whole. We didn't have everything that God had intended for man to have. We were lacking. When we were lost, we were lame. We couldn't walk in the way that God had established for us to walk. Now, I'm not talking spiritually tonight, church. I'm not talking physically or carnally. I'm talking spiritually. We couldn't walk in the ways that God had established for us to walk. We could walk uprightly, but we couldn't walk righteously so that somebody could see something in us that they would desire. We were dumb. We spoke, but we knew not what we spoke of. We were uncomprehendable. We made no sense. We were babblers. I know it's hard for us to admit to tonight, but it's the truth. We were blind. We couldn't see. We couldn't see the righteousness of God, even though it was right there for us all the time. Church, how many of you can look back on your life and say, I could have had Him so much sooner? I could have experienced Him so much longer in my life. I could have known Him so much of an earlier age if I just would have allowed Him. If I just would have listened. If I just would have heard, if I just would have comprehended. When we were lost, we couldn't even hear. The Bible says that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I know His voice now. There was a time that when He spoke, I didn't understand Him. I didn't comprehend Him. I couldn't hear Him because I wasn't one of His sheep. But now I'm one of His sheep, and when He speaks, I hear. And most of the time, I listen. Right? Come on, let's be honest tonight. Most of the time, I listen. But that small fraction of the time that I don't listen, I suffer for. That's right. I suffer for it. I even listened tonight. Me and Debbie, and I hope that she doesn't mind me using her for an example, but we were back there tonight and we were looking for the paper because she wanted to do some pictures for Vacation Bible School. And we're looking all over church for that paper. And somebody had hid it from us. It was here. We just couldn't find it. And I just happened to walk by the little closet there that's got the hot water heater in it. And I opened it up and there it was. And she said, I thought to look in there, but I thought that's stupid. I said, well, I was just walking by there and God said, open the door. I said, thank you, God, for letting me find that paper. Seems like a small thing. But see, had we not opened that door, we wouldn't have found the paper and she wouldn't have got done what she had intended to do today. And even though it seems like a small thing, because we look at Vacation Bible School as a small thing, but it's not a small thing. We're planting seeds in young children's lives that they may grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. And to me, that's not a small thing. Because I just said it. If only I would have comprehended it sooner in life, I could have accepted Him at a much earlier age and saved myself a whole lot of grief. So how can churches look at Vacation Bible School and say, well, it's such a small thing. It's not a small thing. It's young hearts and minds that are ready to be molded and to be strengthened and to be taught about the grace and the admonition of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we look at that as a small thing? It's not. It's an important thing. I read somewhere one time, I think it was like, I can't remember exactly what the percentage was, but it was like 80 or 90% of Christians today say that they accepted Jesus Christ before the age of 12. That's staggering. Staggering. But yet, and I'm not saying this church, but I've seen churches that say, well, we're not going to spend a whole bunch of money on Vacation Bible School because it's just not worth it. How can you look at the heart of a child and say that it's not worth it? How can you put a price on salvation and say, well, $300 is just too much to spend. $400 is just too much to spend. You can't put a price on salvation, church. And when churches do that, they're spinning their wheels. They're wasting their time. Because they're in this thing for the whole wrong reason. Right? In Matthew 17, verses 14 through 18... And when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft time he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. There was a time in my life when I was vexed by many demons. I was overcome by the addiction of drugs. I was possessed by alcoholism. My whole life was about sin. Everything that I did. And oft times, church, I fell into the fire. And oft times, I fell into the water. Oft times, I woke up not knowing where I had been the night before or what I had done. But one day, Jesus came along. And He touched me. And He made me whole. He restored me. Church, He took all the sin, what my whole life revolved around, what my whole life was consumed by, He took every bit of that away. He cast that into the depths of the sea. And He put in me all the things that He was established for me to have. He put love in me. Something I didn't understand. I couldn't comprehend. He put joy in me. Something I didn't understand. I couldn't comprehend. He helped me to see spiritually, to speak spiritually, to hear spiritually, and to understand spiritually. He helped me that I could walk spiritually and that I could live spiritually. Have I failed? I sure have many times. Have I faltered? You better believe it. But I can say this tonight with all assurance. His grace is sufficient. Through all my failures, through all my mistakes, His grace is sufficient. I believe that everybody that is here tonight has been touched sometime or another in your life by the Master's sweet hand. There's no better feeling in the world than for the first time that you've ever been touched, to be touched by Jesus. For the first time that you've ever felt, to feel Jesus. For the first time that you ever spoke, to say Jesus. For the first time that you've ever heard, to hear Jesus. For the first time that you ever see, to see Jesus. I'm glad tonight that I'm born again. That I'm a child of the King. And that one day, on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1988, He touched me. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.